Redwood Soundwave.
Welcome to A Cosmic Void. I'm Biggs.
I'm Xavion.
So today we're covering Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, one of the longest titles ever.
I know.
From 1995. It really excited me when they said the title, though, because we used to play this game when we originally did the show where I would point out when they'd said the title, like, would they say the title in this movie? And they absolutely do. It's written on the picture. So
literally.
And then it's read out.
Yeah. So. It's such a good movie.
Yeah. So I wanted to try and kind of contextualize when it came out because I had an idea of what gay cinema was like in the 90s. And then so I just started looking at all the mainstream releases, which led to some independent releases, which led to a whole bunch of stuff. But I was just trying to like contextualize where we were at because we talked about this before and I was like, it seems like every movie that had a gay main character that was about a gay subject in the 90s, you typically had your character die from HIV or AIDS or something like that. And I went to look and that turned out to not be true. I think where it was more true and what I was thinking of in the moment was a lot of the independent cinema that was coming out with like LGBTQ characters tended to write along that theme, but not all of them.
Right.
And so I was just sort of compiling some stuff. So I was trying to contextualize like, how do we get here in the 90s in terms of how we're portraying people in cinema? And so I started to think like, so back in, I believe, 68, the Hays Code finally was disbanded. And the Hays Code was essentially the movie industry censoring itself so that the government didn't censor them.
Right.
And so part of that was there is no existence of gay people was essentially what it was. And so if you had a gay character, you would try and code them or whatever.
Which they do in a lot of stuff. It's hard because have you watched that 90s show yet?
Yes.
Okay. So the character that's supposed to be the Fez character.
Yes.
Let's be honest. Fez, at the end of the season, Fez never had a girl.
No.
He never, and then it made it seem like that character was supposed to, in a way, be gay until you find out he really does like women. Whereas this other character is the Fez character. They're not really putting big emphasis. Well, actually, no, they do. I think he flat out says, like, I'm a gay guy, and da-da-da-da-da, like, kind of goes through it.
That was one of those things, watching that particular show, I was talking with my kid, because there's a bit of a disconnect, but I was like, it makes sense, because when I watched that 70s show when I was a kid, they were talking about stuff that we were going through. It was just set in the 70s. So like my parents would see it. And I think they were largely like, that's probably not how it was at the time, because the characters act more like they did in the 90s. And when I watch that 90s shows, I'm like, they're acting more like they act now than they did when I was a kid. And that's fine. Like, I'm not mad at it or anything, but that particular character you were talking about, I was like, he is so open and out of the closet.
And that was not okay back then.
Yeah, it's so not a big deal that like, it did ring very untrue when I was watching it. And it's fine because I get why they do it, and I think it's a net positive. I guess that 90s show is not going for hard-hitting issues or anything. It's trying to be funny, right?
It is, and I think I've been looking at a lot of stuff lately, even like talking about like Tu Wong Fu, that movie aside, or in other things. That 90s show, I get that it's supposed to be comedy, but it's also like, it was hard, I guess, on my point to watch, because I was just like, interesting. When I was growing up, I mean, and of course, there was a lot going on, and then I think my little age is like 98. I was 8, and I start, you know, you start realizing things. I actually realized at a younger age, a very young age.
See, I would have been around the age of the characters in that 90s show.
Right.
Like when the 90s happened.
And
so,
to be honest,
I mean, they're vague about what year it is in the 90s.
Yeah.
Same with that '70s Show because you can just perpetually make jokes on the decade.
You could keep going. And I think it was to a point where I was like, oh, I would like that to have been a little more accurate. Did I want him to be afraid and hide and do like what? No, but can we
see?
Bring...
And that's where I'm at. It's like it is whitewashing, but I'm also like, I understand that they're just trying to make be inclusive.
Yeah.
And like,
it's a fun character. He's a fun character.
Yeah. It's not a criticism on the character. It's just, it's looking at like, this is not how it actually was.
Yes.
When you look at the 80s, you really did not get a lot of gay people in cinema that weren't side characters and had certain traits that they were kind of going to again and again. The 90s starts actually centering gay people and lesbians and so on and so forth, like into actual lead roles and having movies be about that. That was new to the 90s. Right. You would often get the killer. This was a holdover from the 80s for sure, but your killer would be gay or lesbian or something. So I think of like Basic Instinct, for example, or like The Silence of the Lambs, Heavenly Creatures, Bound, The Talented Mr. Ripley. These all have characters that are gay, that are murderers. And I would say in The Talented Mr. Ripley, there is like subtext. I don't think they actually say he's gay, but it's like, but it's all coded.
It was all, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be understood while you're watching it, what's actually going on there, right? You would have movies where they always get beaten or killed. And so I'm thinking of like The Crying Game here. This character is revealed to be transgendered and the guy picks her up at a gay club and then flips out on her when he finds out and like beats the crap out of her. In a weird turn for the 90s, they wind up getting back together, which like was kind of surprising for a movie back then. But I would say like the forgiving part was a little too quick in that movie.
I mean, shit. Some of these movies I've seen or shows I've seen for back then that was gay, because I grew up where I saw some of this stuff. It wasn't all, of course, out there for me because of my household and where I lived at and how I lived with my family. But to like see that kind of stuff or kind of get witness to it, it did make me not want to come out, because you're like, damn, like,
see, yeah, if I, and that's, you know, exactly,
go it's, and do this, and it's like, did they do that to spark fear, like, this is what happens if you're gay, or is that just kind of something that was going, that was the, actually not kind of, or I'm not even gonna use weak speech today. What I'm saying is that was that something that was going on, and it looks like or sounds like obviously that was.
And so the question is, does it perpetuate what happened? Does it perpetuate the fear, or does it try and shine a light on it? And it's complicated. Some other examples were The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen in the Desert, and Boys Don't Cry. I mean, I think Boys Don't Cry ends with a murder, right?
I don't think I've seen Boys Don't Cry.
So no sexuality. There's probably a few of them. I just put Tu Wong Fu because I was lazy. And like that was because like there is sexuality. So that's probably not the best way of phrasing it. But it's like your characters don't actually get to have sex. Like they don't get to have a relationship like everybody else does. And then Dying of AIDS, like a quick one to put in there is like Philadelphia, like Tom Hanks is playing a character in there. And then they'll have things where they misunderstand stuff. So like Erasure of bisexuality. So you got like Chasing Amy, for example. You have a lesbian character and then she suddenly falls for a man and then they have a great relationship and then he gets very jealous because he realizes she's been with men before. All of her friends like basically disown her when she quote unquote goes straight. And it's like this misunderstanding of bisexuality exists, you know? So you had some of that, whereas like Kevin Smith had a gay brother and so he was trying to put LGBTQ characters into all, and he did after that, like all of his movies have at least one character because his brother was like, I just want to see myself on the screen somewhere, you know? And so he's trying that, but he didn't fully understand it, so it's like, you know, he jumbles
and
it.
And this is where I'll go with it. It's like when I talk to certain friends and they're like, you know, we had this growing up, we had that. Sometimes back then, had it been more acceptable, it would have been nice to have a character like Blackening. Dwayne, was it Dwayne?
Yeah.
So a character like Dwayne that I could relate to, who was black, who was gay, who was outspoken, who said what he wanted to say and let it be said. It would have been nice with some of those characters.
And he also code switched. Yeah. We talked about that, right? Like exactly. That's something I hadn't really seen in a movie before where they go back and forth like that.
Yeah.
Like a normal person.
Like a normal person. And so we're not all normal, but we're normal in our own way. And like, those are the kind of things where you can relate. And I do get that when like thinking about it, when people are like, oh, I wish I had this person to grow up to, or even with like Disney princesses, things are just changing as far as even characters. We can make so many different things happen, but as long as we can create someone that people can relate to, that would be awesome. One thing I really will say about this movie that when I was watching on my way out is there's a lot of heartwarming scenes. There's scenes of homophobia, race, religion. It goes through all of it. When I was watching some of it, the heartwarming parts, the train part, the whistle, the song, and you're like, I can't do the whistle. That whole scene and everybody's on the train dancing. That to me is heartwarming. They don't know those guys are men. They don't know if they're women. Who gives a at the end of the day, they're having fun. And this is something that this movie was great about, is it opened up so many things to where you could relate or open eyes or realms to things that people were like, oh, that's cool. In this movie, it's a little small town of people who didn't have to accept anything. And to me, the character Noxzema going to that town, I don't know if I would be out there like that.
You know what I mean? You see the fear at the beginning and at the end, but not as much in the middle. Because it was written by a gay man who was a somewhat famous playwright and then did some screenplays and stuff. And he watched this quote unquote documentary, because it's just sounds so awful, but it was called The Gay Agenda. And he was talking in one part about how the drag queens are coming to your town and they're going to change everything. And he was like, that would be an interesting concept. You know, like that sounds like fun. So there's a little bit of camp in this. I guess like when I looked at the 90s as a whole, just to sort of finish off the listing I was doing there. So we could throw in like The Birdcage and In and Out,
right?
Like into that kind of 90s cinema. But basically, if you take those movies and all the ones I said, with the exception of The Crying Game, it's completely straight people playing the roles. We haven't quite gotten there yet. We did get behind the camera with the gay writer for this one. That is something that you don't see a lot.
So true that it was a lot of straight people playing gay people. And that's what's hard too, is I'm going to go there with this. You should throw a white person in and say, go in and act black. Now, everybody's like, what's acting black? Now, if you're going to go in there and stereotype from back then, you already know what acting black would have been like. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And so I see that. And so it's hard when you sit there and you're like, well, you're a straight guy, but you can act as a gay guy. Now, don't get me wrong. These three characters and a few others that I've seen as side characters were really good.
And it seems like some of the side characters were, like, for example, RuPaul, right? Like,
yes.
Like, obviously, RuPaul is not straight, like, famously. No. So you do get some of the backing characters. Like, I was looking at the list for who they were picking for Vita, because the other two characters were written for John Leguizamo and Wesley Snipes. So it's like baked in there with the writer, like, we want these two guys. Let me go through the list here
for it. Vita Bohan.
So for Vita, before they settled on Patrick Swayze, they were considering, and I just saw considering, so this doesn't mean that they talked to them or anything. They were just considering reaching out to these people. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr., who played a bisexual character but is straight. Billy Baldwin, Gary Oldman, Matthew Broderick, James Spader, John Cusack, Mel Gibson. That one was never going to happen. I think we found out. Willem Dafoe. Like, I just picture Willem Dafoe and Willem Dafoe. Drag, and I have a hard time picture. He's the Green Goblin in Spider-Man.
Oh. Y'all, I just passed out. No way Willem Dafoe could be. Well, I don't know, because this was Patrick Swayze, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I did that yesterday, where I was like, who was this? Was it Patrick Swayze or John Q?
They were like, what A-list white guy can we get into this role, right? Like
the guy from Ghost. Let's grab him.
And that's what happened. It was ultimately because of his dancing, because he was able to move in a way that other people they considered weren't.
Was there dancing?
I think it was just more the physicality of it, because Patrick Swayze was a dancer before he got famous as an actor.
I'm sorry, for a minute my brain went simple and was like
think of Dirty Dancing, for
example.
Yeah,
that's right? What I was thinking of, and I was like, wait, was there supposed to be a whole musical in here? I mean,
seemed clear when I was looking at interviews that Patrick Swayze had a lot of gay people in his life and drag queens in his life. So it was like, I think he kind of
somewhat understood
the deal. Yeah. So you also had like John Turturro, Matt Dillon, Rob Lowe, Johnny Depp, and Tom Cruise were considered. Like, not a single gay actor, unless maybe you consider Tom Cruise. There's always been those rumors, and who knows if they're true or not.
I don't know. I'm like, sure.
I do think Tom Cruise would have like stayed far, far away from this, because whether it's true or not, I think he's aware of the perception and probably would, especially in the 90s, like distance himself.
Well, back in the 90s, was that Mission Impossible? He had the
first two in the 90s.
Yeah, and then
by Tu Wong Fu. I don't know if the first Mission Impossible came out. It would have been around that time.
It was probably famous for like close,
like Top Gun or like The Color of Money or Risky Business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a whole bunch of stuff. But
that makes, I mean, yeah, Tom Cruise, maybe. Johnny Depp. That one I probably would have questioned too. Now, listen, Johnny Depp was fucking good looking back in the day too. He's still good looking. But back then, I would have believed if he wanted to do drag, that would have been probably a decent character. I could be wrong.
Physically, he could look the part.
But could he act it?
Yeah, that's always the question with this stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I see what you mean.
All of these movies that we've listed have various problems with them because I think it's the first time we're really getting representation, and so it's being handled clumsily. Like, they're trying, but they're not necessarily succeeding.
Listen, closest thing I like to really anything is Queer as Folk, and that's just because it has sex in it. There's not a lot of good gay movies out there. We went and did Brokeback Mountain. Brokeback Mountain was so depressing.
Two straight actors.
And
one of them gets killed.
Yes.
Yeah, like, right? Like still falls into all these baskets. And
it was still not, it was still reflecting on gays as a bad way. And I will be honest about that because it was about hiding and secret. Yeah. It was about cheating. The dude was cheating on his wife with kids. And that, honestly, well, I'm going to call it out. We are doing that nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. It's sad. No, I remember really liking it when it came out. But, well, I've become more aware of all the problematic stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I look at that now and I'm like, I don't know that it was positive. Well, but like, it kind of reinforces the really crappy things too.
It does, but think about it. Brokeback Mountain did not get good reviews because it was a gay movie.
Oh, interesting. I feel like you're right on some of those reviews, but I feel like for the most part, it got really glowing reviews. I mean, it won Best Picture. Well,
yeah, actually, I'm sorry. It did do good as far as box office, all of that. The way people brought it down was
yes.
Here's very, where we're at. Here's
very homophobic, gay. Yeah. Basically, looking at everything in the 90s, I was like trying to think about the show Ellen. Like, she comes out in that, for example.
And they shut her down.
It went for a bit. I'm pretty sure. What was interesting about it was like, it was two guys, a girl, and a pizza place, I think was what it was originally called. She really shined in it and the rest of the show didn't work. And then all of a sudden it just became Ellen because like they were like, this is the person who's popping. We're going to
reframe
the
show
around this. She takes control and she was out behind the scenes, but not in front of the scenes. And like, I didn't even watch Ellen by that point, but it was inescapable because I remember seeing it all over the news. Like, it was a big deal. They showed that clip over and over again. And then towards the end, you get Will and Grace. I hadn't really thought about this until one of the creators of Will and Grace was talking about the show. And he said, yeah, I'm writing for four girls. And I was like, that's the problem right there with Will and Grace, though, is that like, you have this straight guy writing who doesn't even understand. No, you're writing for two women and two gay men.
Right.
Like, they're different. Like, it's maybe not the way you different. Wrote it, but yeah. they're different.
How are you going to relate when you haven't been through that? Just because you're surrounded by gay people first of all, it doesn't make you gay. If you surround yourself by gay people, you just like good company. And I do mean that because a lot of gay people, well, some gay people are good company, but so are straight people. If that's something you like and you've been around it your whole life, I could see a little bit of that. But if you're not out and you don't understand what we all go through, why are you making a show about it? You know, for shits and giggles, I get it. And honestly, don't get me wrong, Will and Grace is pure gold.
Jack was hilarious, dude. Megan Mullally's character was so funny.
Karen, she's like, one of my favorites.
To me, the supporting characters made that show totally, because it was all of their like sniping and stuff
exactly.
What was going on.
What's funny is I got into it with a gay friend, and it was me, another gay guy, a lesbian, and then a straight girl, and we were all having this conversation. It was three of us against lesbian friend. I ain't saying gay and lesbian, we're all gay. I talked to my mom about this. Like, I get it, there's a difference, but I'm not really trying to pick apart any more on words and how we're doing stuff, because I personally find myself confused. I personally find myself not wanting to constantly remind myself. So if I say something in the comments, I don't care. We all said, well, we want to see a great Karen and Jack show. Like, maybe they should have started off with that, and then Will and Grace were kind of like that side character. But who knows, maybe we would have liked Will and Grace and then wish we would have Will and Grace. My biggest thing was Will and Grace had a complicated relationship.
Yeah.
And how they went through things, there was just things that I was like, Will isn't really portraying gay people in that way. Grace isn't really supporting her friend. Then we came out with a new season and we tried it harder. And like, I get it, but some stuff needs to lay in the past.
I guess what I was trying to get at with all of this is the vibe I got from looking at it was very much like the political landscape. It was like two steps forward, one step back. Like, we are going to put out gay cinema, even in the mainstream, but like, it'll have these elements to it because we're still not comfortable with it. So we'll like take the giant step forward, but then we're like kind of eking back a little bit, right?
Right.
Like, two of them that don't fit in any of those boxes is like, but I'm a cheerleader. You have a whole lot of LGBTQ people in it. Then like, your lead is straight, you know?
Is she straight?
I didn't think so. She just sort of has made,
because she's been,
maybe she's not, maybe she's not, maybe I'm, maybe I'm incorrect.
She's played a lesbian in a lot of stuff. She was,
she's played straight people in a lot of stuff.
Right. And so it's like, she, because she does Russian Doll. So, and I think then that she was straight, that character.
Right.
And then she did Orange is the New Black, where she was bisexual.
I think she was lesbian.
I think she was a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah. But then like, Poker Face, straight.
Straight.
Actually, Poker Face kind of like undetermined. I don't feel like they even address anything with her in that one, do they? Like, I don't feel like she has a relationship with anybody. Like, Down and Out in Beverly Hills, was she's straight.
What,
like,
was the movie?
American Pie, she's straight.
American Pie, yes.
Yeah, she was straight, that's right? Kind of like, everybody in American Pie got a chance to break out, right? Like,
that's,
she was
true.
She was one of those ones that broke out eventually. Like, it was a slow crawl to it. But
yeah, but what's, you know, what's crazy though is she is, see, and that's what's hard is, it's like, I feel like I'm going to contradict myself when I say this. If you could portray it, like, she does pretty good, but I'm a cheerleader, and then she did Orange is the New Black. Like, I would have almost thought she was.
And maybe she is. Maybe I'm incorrect. I thought she was straight, but I'm not basing this off of anything. But, and like, The Matrix, for example, is like, we did not know it was a trans metaphor at the time. And then it turns out the Wachowskis transitioned. And then later they absolutely addressed it and said, yeah, it was a trans metaphor. It was super low subtext. Think about it. You're like walking through the world. You know your place and is not right. You have this thing inside you. You want to like discover yourself. Society is kind of penning you in a certain thing, and then you start to think maybe society is not actually what it should be, and like, maybe I'm somebody different.
Get that from
right and that's why it's like subtext, like, it's, see, 99 dude,
we,
it's
awake, like, we're blind to things until
I think
we
it's
wake
all
up.
Of that, it's all tied together, right? And, but it is a transgendered metaphor, like, they've confirmed that since then. They confirmed that when the red pilling thing with like the alt-right community became a thing. Then they came out and they said, I don't remember if it was Lana or her sister, but like, one of them came out and said, hey, we made sure that like, all of the leads of our movies were not straight white males. Like, the closest probably Keanu Reeves, right? Like, he passes as white, but he's like,
Keanu Reeves is
part,
not white,
he's part,
right?
Asian. Yeah, like, he's a bunch of stuff. We made sure that like, we had this transgendered metaphor running through it, so all the people who are using this as like a mouthpiece for the writer, you, just being disingenuous to what this movie is actually about.
When did you see, like I said, I'm not gonna say, I hate to say it, like, honestly, like, things I noticed, even you just saying that, like, the only white character were in there was a villain who,
there's like two, right? Yeah, there's like Agent Smith, and then there's the dude who takes the steak.
Yeah, and yeah, that's it. And Agent Smith is a villain.
Yeah, they're both villains.
They're both villains. They made the white guys villains.
And everybody else is like, is not a straight white guy. Like,
right.
You know.
At all. And well, that just opened my eyes to a lot.
So because it's subtext, right, it's, step back, right? Like, well, that's time, the right? 90s. For every single thing I look at with this, it's just like, we're taking a leap forward, but we're going to step back.
I agree.
And it just over and over again. So that's the context in which this movie comes out. And that was a long way to say it, but I think it's kind of important to like, talk about that, because this is an era I grew up in, and it's kind of weird looking back. I mean, like, I remember Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's a big deal, because like, leading up to that, if you got caught in the military being gay, of which they were like hunting you out, you didn't just get discharged. And that was the joke, was like, feel lucky that you get out of the military, whatever. Like, that was the joke at the time. But the reality was, it didn't stop there. They took your social security number from you. They took away your right to vote. They basically stripped you of being a citizen.
They
took away your constitutional rights.
They made you less than a citizen. You are now nothing, is what it is. And like, that's what's hard, is hearing you talk about these 90s movies and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, honestly, these were some of the stuff I wanted to talk about because we didn't get all of that.
Even Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that was a compromise because Clinton was going to, or at least allegedly was going to abolish routing people out for being gay. And then it became Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue, Don't, like all of this stuff. And then they ignored the latter half of it. And it was just Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But then they still looked for people and routed them out up until 2010 when Obama finally signed it into law that you cannot discriminate off of somebody being gay, like in any government job. Like this wasn't just the military. This was like all government everywhere, jobs. Right. Like there was an astronomer who was leading that movement who wound up like basically losing his citizenship. And so he just spent the rest of his life fighting the government for that because it was like we were taking away people's rights. And that was the 90s. It was like we're trying, but we're not quite getting there and we're going to step back. So I felt a little better about the 90s, like looking at it, but also like it clearly wasn't enough. No, you know?
Well, and even now it's still not enough. And we'll get into like once we get into the movie, there's just some scenes in there where I'm like, look, gay people gonna be mad at me too. I really don't care. There's things that we should just not be doing as gay people.
We'll get back to that because I actually think we're gonna have quite a lot to say about that, but we should probably jump into the synopsis here. Noxzema Jackson and Vita Bohem tie for Drag Queen of the Year and win a trip to Hollywood for the Miss Drag Queen of America pageant. They see Chi-Chi Rodriguez crying on the steps backstage. Vita convinces Noxzema to take her along to the pageant. There's like elements of camp, right?
Yes.
Like there's definitely camp in it. It's a good thing it's got camp because like when I see a character named Noxzema Jackson or like or Vita Chi-Chi Rodriguez, I'm just like, it better be camp, dude, because that's a little too on the nose. Yeah. You know and
my favorite, like I was as I was leaving, I do the little Latin boy. Why are you crying?
Oh, they're my gosh. So mean to John Leguizamo. At the
they
beginning of
this. Are, but they're aunties. They're the aunties, and like gay people, we are hard on each other. If anybody watches like RuPaul's Drag Race, some of the characters in there I've seen on there that were in the movie.
They've been really?
On RuPaul. Yeah.
Okay.
And back then, RuPaul's Drag Race first one was 2000. It was kind of one of those things where you're like, I didn't realize that RuPaul was in this and then went on and doing that. And then you see some of the drag queens.
RuPaul was famous
for
she had like a song come out in the 90s that was big, and I feel like it was like one Excuse song me. But based off of that song becomes a big personality and just shows up all over. Like anytime you're doing anything with a drag queen in a movie, you usually throw RuPaul in it, right?
Exactly.
Like even But I'm a Cheerleader,
was RuPaul in that?
I was just talking about this with my kids. So RuPaul is in But I'm a Cheerleader, supposed to be the one who like graduated from the camp and is like trying to teach the boys to be boys. So it's the only time I've ever seen RuPaul out of drag.
When they sneak off to the I almost said it. Wasn't it called the black?
It might have been. I can't remember.
They finally sneak out of the convergence camp and they go over and they sneak off to that club. Yes, yes. And I think RuPaul's there and they were like,
RuPaul's there. Through the whole movie. RuPaul is like maybe a fourth lead, but I'm a cheerleader.
Is she the graduate?
The one who graduated and is like teaching the boys to be boys in the gay conversion camp. They have RuPaul out of drag, which I think is like
part of
like the camp of it. The most campy thing we can do is have RuPaul not in drag.
Exactly. RuPaul has a place out in Gillette, Wyoming. They have a farm. Like, I want to go visit. I'm like, hey, bitch, I'm coming to see you. One thing is funny is, I'll be honest, when I first started watching RuPaul's Drag Race and I saw RuPaul out of drag, I was like, what? No. And so finally, and I was dating my ex at the time, and he's like, no, that's really RuPaul. And I was like, dang, okay. And RuPaul's not ugly. It's just when you see someone in drag and you see it all the time, and then they, hello, and they come in and they're like, RuPaul, you're just like, what?
Well, and that was one of the things that some people were mentioning about this movie in good and bad aspects was like, they never really leave drag in this movie. Like they sleep
they
in their drag.
In drag,
like,
they are drag.
Right, which is not really how it works, right?
No,
but I think that's part of the camp of this movie. No, this is who they are like 24/7.
Oh my, exactly. And it's so fun. Each character has their own little personality, but the Noxima Chichi Rodriguez, little Latin boy, why in drag? Why are you crying?
They cash in their tickets to John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. Just like God. So eye-rolly, dude. And use it to buy a convertible that the car dealer begs them not to take. They stop in a restaurant and Vita sees an autographed photo of Julie Newmar. She believes it blesses her trip and steals it from the wall. How do you feel about Robin Williams playing gay characters? I am curious about this because I know this in the Birdcage that I think of right away. There's other examples too, but
yes, that honestly, that's funny you brought that up because those were the, as soon as I was watching this, I was like, oh my gosh, this was an all-star cast. There's a lot of people in this movie.
Steven Spielberg production, so he could pull them in because it's like Amblin Pictures, right?
Yeah. And like there was a lot of people in this movie, and so God bless his heart, I miss Robin Williams, one of my favorites. But as he walks in and he's like, hey, did it, I'm like, oh my gosh, he was in this movie and he's playing a gay guy. Did he play a gay guy in the Birdcage too? And then I started thinking and I'm like, I actually don't mind Robin Williams as a gay guy. Hear me out, I'm not saying it for everybody.
I'm asking your opinion, dude.
I don't mind him. It's the same with Homegirl that we were just talking about from Orange is the New Black, from But I'm a Cheerleader, that character. If you're gonna represent it in a way that it's tasteful, I can get with it, but don't be these over the I just can't. Well, isn't that what know. He's doing no, though he is being that's over the like, top
he always
and so I found him kind of cute in
Robin Williams does this thing that I think people love Robin Williams so much that they like they don't want to think about it. Even if it's like with yourself, he'll do a black man, right? And he'll like go into that super low voice.
Yeah.
And then he'll do a gay man and he goes into that super high effeminate voice. And like he does all of these, dude. Like he just like slips into stereotype after stereotype.
And maybe that's what
it is. It's also comedy. So I don't know. Like I'm just, this is why I asked you. Like I was curious where you fell on it because like I feel like enough time has passed now where we can have like an honest conversation about
but
it.
I like that you make my mind think because honestly because then you come back and you're like, well, but also it's so hard because you want to be mad because we're like, wow, they were doing all these things and throwing straight people in there and then you throw Robin Williams in and he does awesome and you're like
right, see, yeah it's like
I really like that. I don't know why
this is what Aaron Donaldson has done to my brain because like that dude like introduces all of this stuff to me and I think about it all and I'll still enjoy what I enjoy and I'm unapologetic about it, but I will point it out if I see it. Like Robin Williams is one I think about a lot because he's constantly going off a script. That's often him when you see him in a movie, right?
Exactly.
Like he's not always reading lines, especially when he's got a part like this. I would imagine he probably improvised some stuff when he goes in there.
He had to have. And here's the thing. John Leguizamo, Patrick Swayze, and is it Dennis Rodman? Is that how it's? I'm sorry.
Wesley Snipes?
Wesley Snipes. Wait, I'm done with this podcast today. This is over.
How did you get Dennis Rodman and Wesley Snipes mixed up?
Because I was just imagining him playing the basketball part.
White man catcher. Okay, I get that's, it. That's all the, basketball players and, look and alike to you.
Damn it. No, they don't. Wow, everybody, don't think anything of me like that at all.
You know, Woody Harrelson or Michael Jordan?
Damn it. Oh my gosh. You could cut that or keep it. It's up to you.
Oh, dude, it's fun. I mean, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of people in here be like, wow, he wasn't really representing black people. But he's going to represent the gays. Wesley Snipes, all of them are straight guys. And to be real honest, why does this movie give me such heartwarming? It's because for this time, and I hate doing that, like for this time in the movie, but we talked about this with Comedian. They went so far as hitting it hard with gay people. I watched another one where there's two Asian guys watching another comedian from back in the day, white guy. I think he's white. Listen, I'm not going to say that. That's going to be rude. He looked Asian. I don't think he was. But then like in the comedy skit, he's Asian voice. And these guys are eating up. They're laughing and they're finding it funny. I'm cracking up. But the reason I'm cracking up is because they enjoy it so much that that's okay. But back then, it wasn't hold back. You know, they was letting them have it. And I could have swore Wesley Snipes in the black community was getting made fun of by black comedians. Like Martin Lawrence, I'm pretty sure everybody had something to say about him.
My memory of Wesley Snipes, two jokes I heard about him again and again. Mm-hmm. The first one was like how black he was. I think back on that and I think it's just, and I'm honestly, it's something that still persists today, but it's just like so many black actors who actually make it in Hollywood are lighter skinned. Like Wesley Snipes was not, so he stood out.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people made fun of that. I also remember when he didn't pay taxes and went to prison for a little bit. There was a lot of jokes for that. Yeah. To the point of where people still think he's in prison. It's like, no, dude, he's been putting out movies. He did his time. Blade. Leave him alone.
Anybody remember Blade? All of them?
He literally hurt nobody.
No. Just some pockets. So
like the government's pockets. Yeah,
but like honestly, like for these guys in their time, it's hard to say for that time of movie to where we are now, where I'm okay with it, because I really do like all these characters. I think Chichi Rodriguez, as much as that bitch gets on my nerves in this movie.
I hate John Leguizamo in the 90s specifically.
Yeah.
Because he was always so over the top. I just had a hard time with him and a lot of stuff. I'm fine with him later on. Like, I think the roles he got from Hollywood was probably better, so they weren't asking him to be over the top again. But nails this movie, man. Like, I watch it and I never truly believe that Patrick Swayze or Wesley Snipes are drag queens in this movie. Like, it's fun. It's fun,
but Chi-Chi,
but Chi-Chi I actually I believe as a drag queen, and that's saying something, because I did not think that I was gonna come out of this movie being like, wow, John Leguizamo was like the best actor in this movie. Like, I did not think I would fall on that line.
As she gets, look, Chi-Chi Rodriguez gets something else, but we do like some Chi-Chi.
They drive to Vita's hometown and stop by her parents' house. Her mother comes out and looks disapproving. Vita destroys a map and they continue to Hollywood by feel. They are pulled over by Sheriff Dollard, who immediately uses slurs to describe Noxzema and Vita. He has Vita step out of the car and gropes her. Vita knocks him out, thinking she killed him. All right, there was so much 90s going on in this where I was just like, I get why they have the disapproving mother, right? Because that is setting out what's going on with Patrick Swayze's character. It's about saving people all the time, right?
Right.
Like, in particular, anybody who stepped on or whatever. And so you get this little taste to understand, like, okay, this is where
Vita's very motherly.
Yeah.
Very parenting.
And this is why, because like an absence of a parent, right?
Absolutely.
And so I guess I'm okay with that. But then it's like where Sheriff Dollard is just like immediately throwing out the slurs. I'm just like, oh man.
Dude,
like,
the slur. I actually,
like, can it be slightly subtle? Like, really? Yeah,
just a little bit. Well, and then that was going to be a rape scene. And had it been females, that was what's going to be rough, you know, because then if that was a bunch of females and had he not felt her up, realized she had a penis, that whole scene would have been something different.
Right.
You know what I mean? And this movie would have been something different. It wouldn't be no Tu Wong Fu. It'd be like, you know,
Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty much. Sorry, Brad Pitt. You're done. But that movie is really good. But that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like a Thelma and Louise. And it's sad because it's like, damn, dude, you guys really went there. There was a race, like a little race there.
When I'm watching the sheriff on the ground, my stomach is just like, oh god. I was wondering which turn they were gonna take. Is it like he is going to hunt after them, or is it actually dead and all these people come after it? Which is the option I wanted the least.
Right, you or wanted the
is
least.
Is it he's gonna get amnesia and forget about it and then suddenly remember things that come after him? Like, I was like a 90s brain, and I'm like, it's gonna be one of these three.
It was a little bit of both, because he doesn't remember
it. Was he just straight up goes after him?
He remembers everything. Straight up goes out because of the heel. Like, this was, it turned into like Tu Wong Fu to Cinderella, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. It's like
that's where the camp comes in, right? Like yeah, trying to find the shoe that, or shoe. The foot that fits the shoe.
That scene, I actually skip that scene sometimes because I get triggered.
And then when they go to the rest stop, I'm like, oh, this is the 90s. Where are we going here? And then they just come out and drag, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
they just freshen
they're all
up.
Like, okay, we're nice and primped and ready. Chi Chi is like throughout. You can tell throughout the drive, she is a constant complainer. I live for it sometimes. Like I was telling myself before I left the hotel scene where Vita's like, get in the car, and she has to get out. I'm like, I've had friends like this where I'm like, bitch, if you don't get in the car right now, and they're just like, and I'm like, girl, if you stop, get in the car. We're going to talk about this.
The way Wesley Snipes plays off of John Leguizamo in this is just so funny. It's just so perpetually annoyed.
What I did like is that it did go through trans to transsexual to drag to what it was. Now, at the end of it, they were like, no, when you are a boy and you throw on a dress, you are a little boy in a dress. And Noxy does the shades.
Right, because they have the whole thing where they're talking about the steps to becoming a drag queen. And he goes, how many steps are there? And you can tell just making it up, they're like, four.
Yeah, four. And don't they do the ching, 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 you're gay. You're no longer a drag queen.
Chi-Chi hitches a ride for them with Bobby Ray to Snydersville. He drops him off at a bed and breakfast owned by Carol Ann and Virgil, who's the town repairman. He tells them he will be stuck in town for the weekend. The next day, Chi-Chi is surrounded by men who look menacing. Bobby Ray picks her up and shows her a sign that he changed from enjoy Coca-Cola to enjoy Chi-Chi. Meanwhile, Sheriff Dollard tells the other cops that he was beat up by a drag queen and gets made fun of. He becomes obsessed with finding them. It was weird seeing Jason London in a movie. I haven't seen him for quite some time.
And looking pretty decent. I was like, I mean, he was supposed to be young then, but I was like, hey, you're looking
good. I think he was young then. He's probably like 20, 21, somewhere around there.
A lot of the characters seem like children, but they weren't. Like, his character seemed like it was supposed to be a kid.
That camp aspect, right? Yeah. Like, everybody is not quite.
Well, and we'll get into it and eventually, but you already know, like, there's this, like, love interest, you know, that kind of stuff starts to happen. And so you start to see, like, really, it was made for these two characters and not this character.
So you get that kind of threatening scene with Chi-Chi and stuff, which is, like, that's the 90s in Amber right there. It's just, like, we can't get away from the fact that, like, we're just going to show the menacing, which I get on one level because you're showing this to mainstream audiences who are largely going to be straight. And you're, like, think about how terrible this is that this person's being surrounded.
I've been in those situations. To straight, gay, non-binary, any of this. Trans, I'm just going to let you know, we're not ever going to understand each other in ways. We're just not. But am I asking you to cater to that? No, you don't have to, but I'm asking you to respect the fact that I am who I am. Me and my friend, we go into these little debacles of why do people have to come out and why is this? And I'm like, because it wasn't okay at times. It's okay now. But back then, I came out to friends and family because I was beat up. I was fighting. Watching that scene, I've been in stuff like that. And not just straight people, but gay people too. It's all about that aspect of what you perceive to be gay and how you see it. Now, don't get me wrong, everybody. In this movie, no one knows that they're men. I don't think
I think they do, though. But like, it's so much. Okay, with the men, it's very murky, right? Like,
right.
We just don't know what they know.
Yeah.
But like with Carol Ann's character, she knows immediately, right?
Yeah.
Which turns out I had seen this scene where she reveals it at the end. I'd actually seen that part of the movie before. I was just like, oh, I know this part. So now I'm wondering how much of this movie I saw and forgot.
Yeah. Yeah, that Chi-Chi Rodriguez scene, like, it's hard. That's the part where he saves her, right? He drives up in the truck.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I feel like you need, of your three, you have to have John Leguizamo in that part because John Leguizamo is little. Wesley Snipes and Patrick Swayze, they're playing with a couple of times in that, like, yeah, these are big physical dudes who can handle things.
Well,
and
we see a scene in there that we like, no.
For both of them, right?
Yeah, actually, like, for both. Yeah. Well, and John, and let's be honest, John Chi-Chi Rodriguez, there are those young gay people like that. Chi-Chi, you see it in the beginning where she is walking and she thinks she's going to win. And I'm looking around, and personally, to me, Chi-Chi wouldn't have been that winner. Just looking at her, and I'm not saying this because she's young. I mean, in RuPaul's Drag Race, there was a lot of young winners. But Chi-Chi's character is very not self-aware. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, yeah, you're cute. You're young. But you, girl, you got to understand, we're not putting up with your bullshit. You know what I mean?
Right. That's a journey for Chi-Chi in this movie, too. To
I honestly thought this movie four was steps. For Chi-Chi. You know? There's four steps to being a drag queen, but I really do feel like this was for Chi-Chi. This movie was, I mean, it was for all of them, you know? I feel like...
I think it's just that John Leguizamo really steals the show.
Yeah, in you know that what I mean? Way, you like, know?
Because when you look at the plots, I would say Noxzema has the least to do.
Noxzema
because
like Noxzema's,
Noxzema
more...
gets to like connect with the movie theater lady, right? Mm-hmm.
Which that one, that's probably one of my favorites too.
Is yeah, like... and I love that, but it is a very small thing.
It's
in the
a
movie.
Small thing.
And then Vita is like trying to save people, so it's like saving Chi-Chi / saving Carol Ann.
Yeah, exactly.
And kind of the ringleader of all the ladies, mm-hmm. right? And then, like, Chi-Chi has a whole love plot going on and is, like, trying to learn to be a drag queen. So it's, like, Noxzema gets the short end of the stick in this movie in that, yeah. like, has the least amount of stuff to do. That's not that the stuff Wesley Snipes does isn't, like,
yeah.
gold in some parts. Yeah. It's just...
Wesley was...
There's the least on the page.
Vita is the serious one. Noxzema is the comedy. And then Chi-Chi Rodriguez is supposed to be kind of that both. But Chi-Chi Rodriguez is the more outspoken. You know what I mean? Is what I saw is, like... Each had their own little spots, but I do agree. Like, Noxzema's character was fun, but I mostly wanted to know, like, what was going on with Chi-Chi and Vita.
They have the plots.
Yeah. And with Noxzema, you kind of know where it's going with her and the one lady. She starts following her.
Noxzema's kind of along for the ride in
yeah,
a way. Like,
you know?
Won the contest, doesn't really want Chi-Chi to go along. But is going along because it was convinced.
Yeah.
And then, like, doesn't really want to, like, go to, like, any of the stuff in the town, but has to. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Noxzema is just put into situations. Yeah.
And my thing is like, I feel like I have to say this, but it's not because Noxzema is black.
Oh, I think there's an element of it.
There's something with it where
I was wondering if you would say
yeah,
it or not.
Like,
but
I feel like
yeah,
I'm
I feel
really,
like there's an element of it.
Yeah, like, I was telling myself before I left, I'm like, man, Vita is my inner thoughts sometimes, and me outside of my inner thoughts.
I'm going to take it further. I don't think Chi-Chi has as much to do in this movie if John Leguizamo doesn't so clearly kill it that the director probably just gave more, like, yeah. probably in the editing just gave way more to Chi-Chi because it was like John Leguizamo's doing a great job.
Yeah.
But I think initially, I'm guessing, it was probably mostly on the Vita character. I bet you it
I
was.
I think it was, well, I really do think it was supposed to be about Vita, mostly because we get the mother house scene. We don't get backstories for Noxzema or
Chi-Chi.
Yeah. Not like that. Not where we're
we,
going.
We get a backstory for Noxzema that relates
to
Vita.
Vita. Right? Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, Vita and Noxzema are the aunties. That's what they're saying. Listen to Auntie Vita. And that is true. In drag culture, it is something to take someone under your wing, which is why you'll start hearing some of them say the house of, this is one, but because I just recently watched, but there's the Davenports. The house of Davenports. And it's all, you know, Kennedy Davenport, Letitia Davenport. It's all these Davenports. I don't know if there's a Letitia, but there is a Kennedy. And so that was where I started to really start seeing why they're so hard on Chi-Chi is because you don't have to do it exactly this way, but you acted like you're about to win this crown over a bunch of people who you look like a boy in a dress versus, you know.
Okay, this is going to sound insane, but just hang with me for a minute. Have you ever seen The Bride of Frankenstein?
Yes. Okay.
I always like to bring this back to things that we covered on the show before, but The Bride of Frankenstein is very much about being gay. So okay. much so. And James Whale, who is the director, was gay, and the guy who played Henry Frankenstein was gay, and the guy who played Dr. Petraeus was gay. It's all subtext. But when you realize the subtext, it's so obvious. So essentially what the aunties are in Bride of Frankenstein is the blind man who finds the monster and then like accepts him
yeah.
and teaches him to like listen to violin and to smoke and to like enjoy each other's company and like enjoy the stillness a little bit, right? Like that is that character doing the same thing that the ants are doing in this. Like it's like very much like I'm gonna take you from the wild, I'm gonna show you how this is, but show you in a stable way.
Yes. So watch this movie, watch Chu Wong Fu, and then watch RuPaul's Drag Race, because you will get an understanding that some of the stories you hear where they're like, I didn't have family, my family disowned me, my, you know, this person did this thing happened, I had no one to turn to until I found drag. And they
and sometimes you're a Frankenstein's monster yeah. that gets chased by torches and then you find a blind man playing violin.
The metaphor is there, like That actually makes a lot of sense.
I'm serious. Rewatch it knowing that now. It's okay. Like, and you're like, it's going to completely blow your mind. It'll be like different. How and, see, and it's campy too.
One of the ones is Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Dude, come on.
But who's the Annie character in that? Because I don't feel like it's Frankenfurter necessarily.
No. And is it Tim
Curry?
Okay. That's, I always call him Jim Curry. I always thought his name was Jim Curry.
Alrighty then.
My mom used to be like, who? Jim Carrey? And I'm like, no, Jim Curry. She goes, it's Tim Curry, Xavier. And I was like, the guy who plays it? She goes, yes, Tim Curry. There was one time I said a Jim Curry movie and we watched Ace Ventura. And I was like, he is not in this movie.
Which is the opposite of, by the way, Ace Ventura might be the exact opposite of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It is.
You cannot think of more opposite.
No, like, and as a young kid, and it wasn't even Rocky Horror. It was something with Jim Curry in it. Tim.
Damn it. Tim Curry.
It was something with Tim Curry in it. And I was like I want to say it was like, no, Tim Curry wasn't a Mimic, was he?
I can't remember. It's been so long since
not to drag this out, but he was in something. And it's just funny to see that character. God, and how skinny and stuff he was. And the hair.
The town gossip fills them in on everyone's deal, pointing out that the elderly lady was never the same after her theater closed. She also tells him that the Strawberry Social is coming up. They agree to help. Noxzema sees an elderly woman drop her photo and returns it to her, getting her to talk about older movies. Vita convinces the ladies that they should take time to get their hair done, get new outfits, and get a makeover. The menacing men insult everyone, and Noxzema grabs the lead by the balls, literally, and makes him compliment the ladies.
That's right. Oh my gosh. This is where I start to really love this move. I could go with all the beginning, but when they get to the town, this is when is the best. Told you the room part is my favorite.
You know, you always have this like city versus country thing in movies, right? I feel like there's exactly two ways that it goes. When you have city people go into the country, city person comes in, doesn't just refuse to like do what they're doing, but like infuses their own energy and brings life to the town, right? Which is this movie.
Yes.
So that's like score one for the city to me.
Right.
And then the other version is the city person comes in and doesn't like the country and then is like changed by the country aspect and realizes that it should be slower and simpler kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And then often stays. And I feel like that's not what this is, other than like they appreciate everybody in the city. Or in the country at the end.
And they do. And like, I love when Noxzema picks up the picture. Excuse me, Miss Ma'am. Excuse me. Dude, Noxzema's a little high pitch. The other scene, like I said, the basketball scene where she freaking hoops and then the pigtails.
Can I point out something funny?
Do it.
And I want you to notice this next time you watch this, or White Man Can't Jump, okay?
Okay.
Wesley Snipes cannot play basketball. Like, he cannot play.
Really?
He can like, well, let me rephrase. He can dribble and he can pass. And he can like run around and stuff, but he cannot shoot. And somebody pointed this out to me before I watched White Man Can't Jump, and I was like, oh. And you see like Woody Harrelson is like draining jumpers and they'll show him on the shots.
Yeah.
And Wesley Snipes, they always cut away to showing the ball go into the hoop. And they do that here. You see him like drive down the lane and then they cut up to the basket and show it like go in. And I'm like, that is the simplest shot. Like,
you guys come on and let this be known that all black people cannot shoot basketball. Okay.
Yeah, of course they put Noxzema in there. Course. Oh my god. Yeah,
and
dude.
did you see Chi-Chi or Vita shooting hoops? No.
Nope. Of course it
was
Noxzema.
That's why I thought it
dude.
Was Dennis Rodman. No.
Yeah, all basketball players look alike.
You know, all basketball players look alike, just like all gay people and all black people and all white people. And all Asians. Everybody look the same.
That is funny to me when somebody says something like all black people look alike. And then I like to think of Michael Clark Duncan and then like Chris Rock. And I'm like, nobody's getting these two guys
Here's
mixed
the thing.
Up.
I hate when people say that for black people, because I've done it for white people. I've done it for Asian, even Mexicans. I've done it for every race. My white people, though, sometimes I'll be like the back of the head. Let me tell you, one time I was outside, like I was in, did I tell you this story? I was at a stop sign or stoplight.
Oh yeah. You even told this on the podcast.
I did. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And the Crown Vic and all that. I'm like, hey, And then, like, I look, and it's some other lady with a baby. I said,
I mean, like, misunderstandings happen, but it's the whole, like, all so-and-so look alike to me. That's where I'm like, no, yeah, stop. Yeah, that's just, like, that's just not caring enough to realize. Bobby Ray asks Chi-Chi to the Strawberry Social. Noxzema and Vita tell her that she can't be with him. She goes off with him, but decides to relent when he talks about how he values honesty. Chi-Chi helps Carol Ann's daughter look sexy to attract Bobby Ray, and he winds up asking her out. Vita, meanwhile, hears Virgil beating Carol Ann. He punches him and throws him out of the house. Virgil goes to a bar and connects with Sheriff Dollard.
What do you want to touch on first? Because I got two.
Let's do the big one. You know what it is. I know what it is. Let's get it out there.
We talked about it. I want to throw this out there. This is where I did lose respect for Chi-Chi. Mostly because the men don't really realize this. The women kind of, they're kind of like,
I think pulling Bobby Ray out of this.
Yes.
I don't know if the guys circling Chi-Chi know or not.
I don't think
they
do.
To me, it's murky.
It's giving, to me, it was giving, I want to hit that. You know what I mean? That's what it was giving to me.
To me, it felt very menacing. Like, we're going to you up. So yeah, I don't
ooh, see.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I could see where you're coming from as well. So I don't know. It's
murky. I did not think about that. But then it's like, how would they know? Well, mom, you know.
See, I don't know. I think it's safe to say it's murky, right?
It is murky.
I think,
but like,
the movie knows. I think it's not portrayed well.
I'll look it up later and be like, were the men supposed to know Chi-Chi was not Chi-Chi?
And you know what complicates this too?
What?
Is like, okay, the writer's going to have one idea. The director's going to have one idea. And every actor in that scene is going to have an idea.
You know what I mean?
So it's like, so that makes me wonder if that's why it's murky, is because different people have different ideas.
But also, if you think about it, they never get out of drag, but they never, here's the thing, they never say, oh, we shouldn't be, do they? They never say, oh, let's try to stay in drag. They just kind of wake up like that. They kind of,
yeah, that's just how they
like
are.
That.
Yeah.
So that was the other thing, is like, you don't get that. Now, here's where I lose a lot of respect for Chi-Chi, and this is where I lose a lot of respect for people who do this, and there are people who do this. I know someone who did this. I know a couple of people who did it, and I know that few of the guys went through with it and did not know. To sit there and trap a guy and him not knowing, or even if he slightly knows, you haven't come out to him and told him that. You can't trap somebody like that. And so when they're like, dude, you can't do this, I 100% agreed with Noxzema and Vita.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he does not know. Here's this other girl who actually has a potential with him, who she's in love with him. And the only thing you're giving him is a facade that's saying, I'm a woman, but you're not.
I do want to talk about the writing of this scene, because this is what I focus on, and this is kind of what I wanted to talk about. I think about Carol Ann's character, for example, knowing at the end that Vita had an Adam's apple, right? And so knew.
Right.
And didn't care, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just knew. Wouldn't it have made this movie a lot more fun if Chi-Chi goes through this whole thing and then, like, confesses it to Bobby Ray, and Bobby Ray's like, no, I know, you have an Adam's apple.
Right.
And, like, you know what I mean? And then, like, have that, still have them
kinda
been
be
able
the
to
love
connect.
Story,
maybe
and
have him go down to L.A. with them or something.
Yeah.
Like,
but
that,
then,
I think that would have made it more fun and, mm-hmm. like, more enjoyable.
So take the love interest out with, I think her name's Billie Jean.
Yeah, because it's unnecessary, dude.
Billie Jean was
it's
cute.
Just an
she
extra,
was fine.
It's
yeah,
just an
but
extra thing in the movie. And it also makes Bobby Ray look because, like, he's got a thing for Chi-Chi, and he's just like, oh, now she looks hot. I guess I'll go this direction.
I mean, Chi-Chi did break it. Yeah, that's true. Chi-Chi did break it off.
Would have been more in the spirit of the movie, I feel like, if they had done something like that. But that being said, the thing that I object to, and I will say once again, gay writers, so, like, at least he was able to be the one who wrote it. Who knows if it changed in production or whatever. But the idea of making it about the drag queen that's, like, trying to trap the person, mm-hmm. I feel like what they're trying to do with the scene is say, like, no, a true drag queen would never do this. So straight people,
right.
Stop freaking out. Like,
yes.
You don't have to worry because we won't do that. I feel like that's the intention of the scene. But what I think it does unintentionally is have some straight people watch it and be like, oh my God, this is going to happen to me because, like, mm-hmm. that Chi-Chi character was going to do it, you know? And so I think it unintentionally reinforces that idea, which you said. said happens, and it does. Like, it does happen, but it's also like most people are not going to do that, right? Like,
I would hope not, but these sometimes.
I know that there's some people. I feel like most people wouldn't do that.
I would really hope that people wouldn't do this. Unfortunately, I feel like when things like this happen and you've gotten privy to it, or you've gotten to witness it or any of that, your mind completely changes. And like, it's hard because I won't say she was trapping him. Definitely a little grooming situation. There's something that was going on that I was just like,
the sexual politics of the 90s are nuts.
It is. And here's the thing. Maybe they could, if we think about it, too, as a gay writer, maybe he couldn't put that love interest in there because
I don't think he could have
or
maybe he put it in there and it got stripped out.
It could be that because
like
scenes.
You write and then you hand it off and then like you have no control over that anymore.
Exactly. And so they could then have it's been up like, to
the
hey,
producer, the director, you know.
Yeah, and that could have if
actors
you think about
on the
it,
day.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, if there was a common love interest or something like that where was a drag queen and a man, that definitely hey boo, that definitely brings what's the word I'm looking for, like it exposed. I don't even want to say that because I feel like for back then it would have exposed a lot. It would have been the first gay movie that honestly was picked on everything from being gay to being a certain race to being this certain way to country to city. It broke down so many fun barriers.
Yeah.
And so many not so fun barriers.
I'll be honest, man. This movie, when you suggested it, I was anxious to see it because I mean, clearly I'd seen part of it before and just didn't remember until I started watching it. But I hadn't really given it the full watch. And part of that, I'm going to say over the last like 15, 20 years was just purely like assuming that it was going to be a really movie game. Towards yeah. drag queens. Like yeah. I just assumed in my heart, because so many people would be like, you got to watch it. But I kind of look at a lot of those people and be like, I'm not sure I trust you to like suggest this content to me, because like I'm not sure that you're on the level with this stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I just didn't know, but I really enjoyed it. It's just like when I talk about this, it's like nitpicky things, right? Like
yeah.
I'm almost pulling apart the 90s of it all here, and like this is the step back.
It like, really helps because we again like I noticed we'll watch these, we've been watching some classic movies where we're like, okay, and it was just different back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people, to be real honest, anybody that has if anybody watches some of these movie shows, any of that, they are going to be offended. That's just what it is. I mean, and not to be not saying it like you're going to get on there and you're going to be offended. It's just things that were not acknowledged as much back then versus now.
Don't say you can't watch this anymore. Like, watch it and learn from it, man. Mm-hmm. Like, learn from it and then point it out when you see it in other things and like pass that along
well,
to other people.
There's always going to be another rendition.
You don't, yeah, and you don't see it until it's pointed out, and then when it's pointed out, then you can see it, and then you're left with this decision of like, am I going to say something or am I just going to like keep doing what I'm doing? And for me, I'm going to say something, but I have to see it first.
Yeah. And you know what? And you've seen my journey lately. And my biggest thing is I've been the one that's like, I'll just see what happens. And now I'm like, no, I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's necessary. Because we deal with this on a daily basis where we are trying to figure out non-binary to this, to that. And honestly, watching this movie, these people didn't give a shit. And they really did not
care. Yeah, you know, the one who like truly cares
is the sheriff and
Carolyn's
husband.
And when he's talking about it in the bar, I mean, tell me it doesn't seem like he's repressing, right?
Exactly. Like, come
on. I was talking with my kid and I'm like, I think the sheriff's actually like gay just can't come to terms with it. And then when it ended, my kid was like, well, I don't know, because it didn't show it. I'm like, it's subtext, kiddo.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the thing that you say without actually saying it.
The hardest thing is people don't want to look at subtext anymore. They don't want to see what's going on in the background.
Oh, this show doesn't exist if people don't care about subtext.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is yeah. like sometimes they don't see those undertones or those things right. that we're supposed to
but
be
when
really
he's sitting there talking
for.
About he's like, oh, these men and these
but he's feeling the shoe and, yeah,
yeah,
dude.
And it's like, yeah, it was too like, I'm like, it's what charged do you do what he's saying is like very very charged right.
and that was dirty. Put it down.
That's what makes it hot, though.
And then real quick, yeah. the beating part, let's be honest about that, too. That's when Vida stepped in as a man. Drag queen to trans to this, there is a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And as a drag queen, he was motherly. And when he was motherly, he was also fatherly.
Right. And I feel like they make it a point at the beginning that the only one you see putting on the makeup and everything is Vida, right? And
no, then later. You see Noxima too, but Noxima's mostly putting the clothes on. Mostly because I remember the leg. Okay,
let me rephrase this. Like, you see Vida in the mirror in the act of, like, becoming a drag queen, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then later, right before he goes to take care of it, he's, like, running forward, and then the wig catches, and you see him without the wig. And I think they're trying to say, like, look, he can be this big, imposing person by, like, stripping away that a little bit.
Right.
And so I think that's what they're trying to do in that movie is, like, show, like, no, because he can go and handle his
exactly.
Okay, the pronouns are not complicated for me anymore, but the pronouns for this is complicated
because
I'm switching between Patrick Swayze, he, and Vida, she.
But the thing is the minute the wig comes off, it was almost like, hate saying it like this, but like coming out and breaking out of that, you know, coming out of that thing again. And she did have a fog over her. And so having that wig come off, her identity was exposed, you know.
And yeah, and so, that's what I said. So it's like, I can also be this,
I can
right?
also be this, and then goes in there and beats the out of that boy.
And woo! I will say that's where it's interesting to me. I can feel the gay pen right there. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, acknowledging that, like, yeah, we can be this and that. I feel like it would be so binary if it was a straight dude writing that at that time.
Absolutely.
I don't think they would understand that.
I agree. Well, and like, as a gay guy, like, my biggest thing is I know my straight guys can fight. I know my straight girls can fight. I know my gay people can fight. I know all of that. But sometimes some people are not as strong as others. And that's not even just a gay thing. But that was the thing that you got to see, was he did change to that. And then, like I said, he went in there and beat up Vern. Saying that name, but he goes in there, beats up Vern, handles his business, but he still did it as a lady. The thing was, is that point was, is he found himself, pops that wig back on, and goes and handles his business. I have a lot of friends that are like that, and the ones that I don't have that are the ones that aren't around are the ones that didn't treat me like that or didn't treat others like that. And so I'm like, yeah, you weren't really that friend. My biggest thing is like, I love my female friends. And do I think that a man coming up to them and trying to box them is going to be okay? Absolutely not. Especially when they've done nothing wrong. But what I will say is I'll protect.
Just think about this scene though.
What?
It's once again, it's camp. So it fits with everything else, even when it's getting serious. That's not really how these situations play out.
Hell no.
You're not at somebody's house and then you can just hear the woman screaming and then they're just like, it's no big deal, I'm just beating my wife kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
That's not how any of that
And then you
ever
just walk
works.
Into their apartment, you're like, okay, walk, stay out here real quick.
Yeah, it's such a movie thing. Like, you see the dude come in and he's got like a stained undershirt and he's just like, I can taste the spice and the spaghetti sauce. Like, that doesn't happen. Not like that.
Oh my gosh. Well, and like, I'll be honest, that happened when I first moved into my apartment. That happened. I heard some people. Let me tell you, I didn't know what to do. My instinct was not to open the door.
Oh, no. I've heard things like that. But if you're operating a bed and breakfast, like, you know what I mean?
Definitely
it's not happening
that.
Like that.
No.
But whatever. No. Like, it's a movie. I'm just like, I'm just clowning on it.
I get what you mean. I think it's funny. But that's what I'm saying. I'm like, ain't no way I'm walking. Listen, if I'm going to stay at your bed and breakfast, y'all better not be fighting like that.
Don't beat your wife when you have guests.
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't anyway. But
question, like,
I don't
would you
feel
do
like
this?
I have to say that?
No. I mean, well, I would hope not. Yeah, you walk in, you're like, so kid, are you guys going to hold the beating to a minimum?
Like, can you just wait till I go home before you start yelling about spaghetti sauce?
Yeah. Can I not add spice? Oh my gosh.
Carol speaks with Vida and mentions she noticed the Adam's apple when they arrive, but doesn't judge. The strawberry social begins and Sheriff Dollard and Virgil crash it looking for Noxima, Vida, and Chi-Chi. All the people in the town claim to be drag queens until they leave. The ladies are relieved that the town stuck up for them. You have your I Am Spartacus. Like, have you seen Spartacus?
No.
The old Stanley Kubrick movie? Okay. So what's funny to me about that is, and this is another contextualizing thing, and I don't know if it matters or not. It's just an observation I made. That movie never played on TV. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it started playing on TV in the 90s. Movie after movie after movie
TBS,
in the 90s.
The
Hades has the, because there's this part, and Spartacus is supposed to be gay in Spartacus, okay, but it's subtext, right? It's subtext that he's gay. And they have this part where they're looking for Spartacus to murder him. One slave stands up and says, "I am Spartacus," and they all stand up and say, "I am Spartacus," so that they can't like can't get him.
So that's where that comes from.
So they do that again and again and again and in the 90s. But I would say it makes more sense for this movie because there is that subtext that Spartacus is gay in the movie.
There was, and one thing that like, and see, that's where the hard part was with the Chichi Rodriguez part versus the ending. I still am on that part where I'm like, but then the guys like at the end, they didn't even go with Virgil. Not one.
The guys make such a hard turn. That's what makes me wonder if they knew at the beating scene too. Like that was the other thing I was thinking was like, they don't even hesitate.
But that's why I'm like, I felt like that's when I'm like, where they really did not know in that way. I don't know. This movie doesn't.
I don't know either.
I didn't know this movie was 1 hour and 48 minutes. I was like, this movie seems short as hell. I was like, I did not know.
I didn't feel short as hell for me specifically because I watched it on YouTube and like,
oh yeah,
dude, oh my God, man. They don't even like wait for the end of scenes. It was like mid sentence they would break for a commercial. It's just like, oh, there was so many commercials. And then I was like irritated at YouTube as well because they immediately start off with an HIV AIDS commercial. I'm like, tell me.
They did?
Yeah. And I'm like, tell me you're putting that on the other stuff because I don't think you are. No, because
here's the thing is I notice I'll be watching certain things and then all of a sudden an ad is popping up for all that. And
I have never had an ad for that. Not me. Once.
No.
Not once, dude. I watched Tu Wong Fu one time and it comes up and I've watched lots of movies on YouTube.
Yeah. And see, and that's what I mean is like, they're like, do YouTube Red? I'm like, I'm not paying for YouTube.
Go f- yourself, YouTube.
$20? Nah, you got me tripping.
You put it down to $5, I'll consider it.
Yeah, it's YouTube. Come on, Matt. It's YouTube. I really enjoyed the ending.
And basically, Chi-Chi wins a pageant, right? Like, they leave the show.
I forgot. Yeah,
they're hiding off. They feel appreciated. Won. And then Chi-Chi wins.
Yeah, yeah, and Chi-Chi looked really good at the end. I was like, okay, John Leguizamo, you look good as a woman.
Oh, and you got Julie Newmar, which was completely spoiled for me by the beginning credits because I'm watching the movie. And there is this part of my mind that's like, I wonder if Julie Newmar is going to be in it. She's probably going to be in it, right? She'll probably be in it. And then I see the opening credits. She's like fifth or sixth billed that says Julie Newmar. And I'm like, why'd you put that in there, dude?
We did not.
She's on the cover of the movie. Couldn't we have just like had that as a surprise? Like a
thank you. We really do thank you, Julie Newmar. Well, and she's the one that crowns Chi-Chi. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, she's so pretty. Was. But like.
Dude. Yeah. The cat women were great. 60s Batman.
I bet they were.
You might like Batman and Robin too. They're also wearing the same skin type. Like in HD, man, it don't lie for anybody, male or female.
Eartha Kitt still purrs.
Yeah.
Dude.
Eartha Kitt was done dirty. Can I go off on a side tangent? Oh, go for it.
I'm listening.
Eartha Kitt was done dirty in the old Batman show because she got to play Catwoman after Julie Newmar wasn't on it again for whatever reason. She does a better Catwoman in that, like, she does the purring and like she acts more like a cat, right? Even Skylar was like, is it the good Catwoman, when I was talking about how Julie Newmar played Catwoman?
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not the one who acts more like a cat, if that's what you mean. And she's like, oh like,
darn it.
But she didn't get to ever have any kind of like flirting with Adam West's character, which Julie Newmar's did all the time. And they were like, nope, she's black and he's white, so we can't do that.
That kind of stuff, it's hard. And of course, me being gay, black, you know, I'm also very much Jewish. I got a lot of white in my family, everything. Watching this movie, it's like, dude, we could really come together. Like, seriously, we really can. I don't like putting all of my stuff all in one basket because I hear different things. And even we've talked before where people say things where I don't know if they're aware. I'm not even going to sit here and say it's not ignorance. You're aware of what you're saying sometimes. So like living out here is one of the things is there are black people here and there are Mexicans and Asians. It's diverse enough that I'm comfortable. But sometimes, like, I'll be honest, everybody, I don't want to hear from me being black from a white person. Yeah, there's this other town where they have really good bands. One time they had this black guy there. He could have been Samoan. I don't care. He could have been of color. I don't care. Why does he have to be black? Why does he have to be white? Why does he have to be Asian? Why does he have to be anything? I really have been going back and forth with that. And so watching this, the Noxzema character I relate to, but Noxzema people, the characters liked her and were relatable to her.
Okay, this is just like...
Go for
it. Just be a little goofy, but like throwing it out there, like to give Noxzema a little bit more. Noxzema is the one who cares about old Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Yeah.
Shouldn't the Julie Newmar thing be tied in with Noxzema?
Yeah.
Doesn't that feel like an extra thing for Vita?
Yeah, it felt like Vita was family. Chi-Chi was discovering themselves. And actually, Noxzema was about the times, you know? She was more, when she's talking with the one lady.
Yeah.
And then she gets like, her to finally talk.
If you have the Julie Newmar thing, then that, like,
it was all ties in
with that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just, like, I look at that one string and I'm like, these should have gone together. And then instead of Julie Newmar, you make it Eartha Kitt.
Yeah.
to further it though, right? Because she talks about that one actress who is black who got blackballed in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
For being black. You make it Eartha Kitt. She has the same story.
Yeah. If it's
Too Wong Fu, thanks for everything, yeah, Eartha Kitt. Should
have went like with a Julie Newmar as Noxzema.
I'm just, but maybe question, it was. Maybe it think... was and it got changed because they couldn't get Eartha Kitt. I don't know,
or
but like,
do you think now just
no,
because
say
it was back
it,
in the it. Day, do you think because Noxzema was black and there wasn't a lot of black leading roles, they had to say, look, we got to give this to this person? But it's hard because as a gay person, and don't get me wrong, there are all kinds of racists, there's all kinds of homophobes, there's all he could have been with the people, but been like, look, I don't like black people, I want this certain character in there, but here's what I got for you. And so it's like, damn, do you think he went there? Do you think it was just more like, nah, we're just going to throw some storylines together and we're going to have fun with it?
Oh, I think it was that. I'm okay. Just saying like, no. I started out by saying I just want to have a little bit of fun with it.
Okay, like, okay. I was like, I don't know now.
But I sit there and think, because all these strings come together in my head. We talked about how Noxzema doesn't have quite as much to do as the other two, right?
She doesn't, so like, yeah.
And already has the Hollywood thing, so you could have strengthened it with that mirror thing and have it be there. And then if you have Eartha Kitt, it also like lines right up with that speech where she's talking about, you just replace it by talking about Eartha Kitt, because Eartha Kitt was a star in old Hollywood as well.
Yeah,
you know?
And Eartha Kitt gets passed over a lot. We do forget.
Dude, Eartha Kitt faced a big backlash because she talked to Lady Bird Johnson. Like, well, the first lady of the United States. She talked a little bit of to her at a luncheon about Vietnam, and then like got blackballed.
Drag is fun, and watching it is there.
It's so much fun. I had no, when I lived in Olympia, there was drag shows like every week, basically. Right. Yeah. And there was a ton of drag performers around, and I never went because I just didn't understand the appeal, because I was like, why do I want to watch people dance to music?
Yeah,
like,
in dresses and wigs. Right.
Yeah. It wasn't so much that part. It's like, I don't want to watch people dance on stage no matter what.
Gotcha.
I come back here and then I happen to catch a drag show when it was out on the street, and I was like, man, this is fun. And then so I just started going, like, it's a lot of fun. I just had no idea. There's just like an energy that runs through it that I haven't seen in other stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely different. Well, because it's welcoming. Of New York, number one open tonight. Wake up, pop culture up, my dying on the job. And I kinda like to be the one to tell you.
A Cosmic Void was created by Alex Small and Jeremiah Perez. It's hosted by Alex Small and Xavi Cousins. Produced by Aaron Donaldson and Alex Small. The theme song Duke of New York A No. 1 was written by Dub Campbell and Greg Vivrette. The song is performed by Tonight We Ride. A Cosmic Void is a Redwood Sound Labs production.
Okay, kiddo, I lost my library of sound, so I need you to do some sound effects for me.
I don't want to do this, Dad.
Look, I'm just trying to put food on the table, but if you don't want to help...
All right.
Hear Biggs chronicle a galaxy of genre. Listen to the deconstruction of film on A Cosmic Void. Charles is a Purple Heart recipient and cinematographer. Aaron is a professor and critical cultural scholar. Together, they explore the narrative, effective, and production politics of war cinema on Real War Project. That's R-E-E-L, War Project. Finally, a podcast that's dedicated to talking about your favorite sports movies. Whether you want to hear a breakdown of the plot, arguments about who's the MVP of the film, or crit and lit about it, you'll find it all on Fields of Glory. Listen to the show that will help you have a better life with your beloved pets. It handles topics like proper food, nutrition, positive reinforcement training, and more. Certified dog behavior consultant Charlotte Peltz welcomes your pet concerns and questions in the podcast, Living with Your Dog. Zach and Matt are two horror enthusiasts of varying experience discussing horror movies through the scope of content, context, and comedy. They'll hit on the good ones and the classics, but they're really excited for the bad ones. Listen to Watch No Evil. You can find all of Redwood Sound Lab shows at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts.